Good morning. We're glad to see each of you here today. Those of you that are gathered inside with us, those that are in the parking lot, and then Miss Eugenia over at her house, and Billy, I assume. So we are so glad that you're here with us today. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of life. Lord, a beautiful day you've given us in the fall weather, and we thank you for all the blessings that you give us, Lord, that we so often take for granted. We pray, Lord, that you will be with us throughout this day and throughout this upcoming week. Be with Ryan as he brings our message today. Be with Rick and Robin as they're on vacation. I pray that you'll give them a time of rest and a time to just regenerate and Lord, come back refreshed, and we thank you for that. We pray now that you'll go with us, guide us, lead us, and direct us, for it's in your name I pray. Amen. Good morning again. It's good to see you. I got several announcements, and I'll probably mess some of them up, but we're going to go with that anyway. First, since it's right here in front of me, the flowers today are from Mickey and Judy, and Judy told me she slaved working over those for 6 months trying to get them ready. ain't no need to lie from the pulpit, is it, Judy? Okay. But anyway, Judy and Mickey provided the flowers today, and I like them. Certainly the fall weather and the seasons looks good for there. Another announcement, the deacons meeting will be held 2 weeks from today on November the 15th at 8:45 in the morning. And Mike asked that all active and inactive deacons come to that meeting if possible. So, and I guess you'll send out a text again right beforehand or something for that. Another announcement. Ooh, that works. Another announcement is, if you haven't done so already, monitor's going crazy. If you haven't done so already, vote on Tuesday, November the 3rd. That's, if you're like our household, we were talking about it last night. We've got so many pamphlets and brochures about this and that and whom and whatever. There should be no excuse that anybody would have to not know to vote on Tuesday if you haven't done so already. So please keep that in mind. Larry's going to make a Sunday school announcement here in just a minute. Larry, let me go ahead and go through the prayer requests and the praises and stuff like that, and then we'll let Larry come up. First, certainly a prayer request. We need to remember Sheriff Scott Worsley, who is Larry's cousin, his family. He passed away this week, and we certainly need to keep their family in prayer. A praise from my end anyway is the cooler weather. It makes it so much easier for what I'm doing now, trying to run my bird dogs and get them in some semblance of shape. It just makes it a whole lot easier and makes a whole lot of other things easier for all of us. So certainly the cooler weather. A prayer request, and maybe some of y'all can fill me in a little bit more on this. Robin Spurlock had to be transported to Phoebe yesterday, but she was back home last night. And am I right, Judy or Mike? Or we think she's back home. So, at first they said it was a heart attack, but it wasn't. They don't know what it was right now, right? Okay, so, but anyway, y'all keep Robin, and that would be Eric and Mary Beth and their Rocky and Hannah and their families. Keep them in prayer at this time. Anybody else have a prayer request or a praise this morning before I let Larry come do his Sunday school announcements? None? I'm kind of quiet this morning. Okay, Larry, if you'll come ahead then, and when you finish, Ryan, we'll just go ahead and turn it over to you this morning. And it's great to see Dee back, believe me.
Good morning, everybody. We decided we'd do it out of the pulpit this morning so that those in the church parking lot could hear, and it wouldn't have to be repeated. But y'all know that most everybody should have, unless there was some kind of oversight, have received a letter this week about us going back into Sunday school. Next Sunday be November the 8th. Most everybody should have received this letter. If you didn't, our plans are to go back into there's a lot of people shaking their heads, no?
Yeah, a lot of them haven't gotten
this. A lot of people have not gotten this. Okay, so this is new information. So I might go into a little more detail then. But anyway, we're planning to go back into Sunday school classes next week. There's been a lot of work done and a lot of decisions made about how we're going to try to do that. I'll just go down the list right quick. Because some people are changing in to different classes with larger rooms and that sort of thing, and we'll just kind of run through those right quickly. I don't think that was right English, but run through that quickly. There we go. The nursery will be in the same location, and this will be at 9:45 next Sunday morning. Preschool will be in the same location. That'd be Kim Jester. K-3, 4, 5 will be in the same location. That's Dan and Mary Ruth. Dan and Heather. Sorry, not Dan, Mary Ruth, but Dan and Heather. You know, when you say Dan, you just say Mary Ruth. I'm sorry, but Dan and Heather. Grades 1, 2, and 3. All right, now this is a change. We'll meet in the children's church room upstairs. That's the large room upstairs on that back hall. Now, because of health reasons, Cheryl, you wave me off if I'm wrong. Are you going back into your class, or are you still hesitant to do that? I'm not trying to put you on the spot, because we talked about trying to find someone to take your place, if that's what you want. If you want to teach your class, honey, you can teach your class, but we do not want... Okay, we'll talk about it after the service. But we are going to move up into one of the larger rooms, so it will be okay, you know, be plenty of room to social distance, I like using those words, and we won't be all up on each other. But and that would be in grades 4 and 5, Eric Eubanks, they're going to be in the same location. The youth, all the youth will be in the same, will be in the upstairs with Ryan, Jody, and Mary Ann. Larry Worsley's class is going to be in the same spot. Mary Ruth Harris, same spot. Mike and Mike Newberry in the same spot. Beverly Daniels in the same location. Judy Durden's class can either choose to be in the fellowship hall or the library where Miss Teresa normally meets for Sunday school. You know, that'll be up to y'all which one of those y'all want to go to, because of the fact that our senior adults, which would be Miss Teresa's Sunday school class and Mr. Ike's class, make sure I get this right, are going to start meeting on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. And that's going to begin on November the 11th. So that would, Miss Judy, that would open up the library. So as far as we know right now. And that's kind of, that's something that is a decision that we're going with right now, but if they change their minds and decide that they want to come back during the regular time, that's something we'll be looking at in the future also. But we're just trying to get started right now. And let's see, where was I at? Judy Jordan's class, Sherry's class. Sherry, you are going to continue with Zoom, correctly? Okay, so we're going to do face-to-face and Zoom. We'll have to kind of look as far as your numbers go and see where we might can move y'all to in a little bigger room or something if that's available. But Sherry is going to continue with Zoom. Thank you for doing that during this all this time that we've all been away from each other in Sunday school. Those kind of things are so important, and I really appreciate you doing that. And anybody else that's continued your Sunday school ministries in whatever way, just if nothing else, contacting the people in your classes, thank you for doing that. That's the Lord's work. That's not Larry Worth's Sunday school director. That's the Lord's work. Thank you for doing the Lord's work. I appreciate that. And I was reading down here. The church will be cleaned and fumigated between Sunday services and Wednesday services for the peace of mind for, you know, some of our older adults. But it's something that's got to be done anyway. Bathroom kits will be available in the bathroom. And it may be something as simple as if you go to the bathroom, just spray down the handles and the knobs and wipe them off or whatever is decided with that. Social distancing in the classrooms, what we've looked at is we looked at the number of people in these classes. We moved to some larger classes so that we can get on the wall, get away from each other. And masks are highly recommended. And I'm just going to leave it at that. Highly recommended that you wear a mask. The parking lot ministry will continue at 11 o'clock. run from 11 till whenever the service is over with. It won't be one going on during the Sunday school hour. And something that is really important, and I know this pretty much goes without saying, but I've got to say it anyway. If you're feeling sick or you're running a fever or something, please stay home. And that's been, you know, that's we've been following that as a church ever since we've come, that we've made it back into the auditorium, and it's something we're going to have to continue to do. We just got to be careful. There's a lot of things going on. We don't know how long this is going to last. We don't know how long we're going to be able to do this. We don't, you know, it may be this way for a while, but we're going to do the best we can. I'm thankful for the health team. I'm thankful for them meeting and talking over these things and coming up with the guidelines for it. I'm thankful for the deacons and the pastors and those people on staff. I'm thankful for Ms. Betty and Ms. Alita for getting this letter on paper and getting it into to everybody's hands. I hope it's coming. Mine was in the mailbox this morning, so it could have gotten there yesterday. I don't know if it was yesterday or Friday. Richard said he got his yesterday. So if you hadn't received your letter yet, you should. It should be in your mailbox in the next day or so. So I'm glad we're doing this for the simple fact it will give us a little more heads up. But I'm just thankful for everybody that's worked hard to help us get back into Sunday school. I'm very prejudiced. Sorry, Ryan. Sorry, Rick. But Sunday school is the most important part of church to me. And the sooner we can get back in there and do it the right way, the better. So we're gonna start trying next Sunday. It's going to be a work in progress. It's going to be a little bit chaotic. A couple of Sundays, though, it'll be old hat. It's sort of like when we came back into the auditorium. It was a little bit strange for a couple of Sundays, and then it just kind of falls into place. And it'll be that way with Sunday school. We'll do whatever we need to do, when we need to do it, if we need to change. If there's anyone who feels uncomfortable with what we're doing, you do whatever you feel like is best for yourself. That's what we have to do in times like this. But it sure is going to be good to be back in Sunday school next Sunday, and I look forward to it. And I appreciate everybody that's worked hard to make this happen. So Sunday school teachers, we got to study our lessons this week and be ready to go next week. There's a lot of people said they're ready to come back. Well, we're fixing to make that happen. Also, one other thing that's not one on the list, but I want to mention next Sunday, if everything goes correctly, we're going to be recognizing John Stedham Tenemans and Butch Kaminsky with their perfect attendance plaques that Ms. Judy has taken and gotten engraved. And Mr. Mickey did it this time. Y'all kept it in the family, and I appreciate it. And we'll be doing that next Sunday morning. We were going to do it this week, but we're waiting for Rick to come back off of vacation. So with all that being said, I'll see y'all some.
You mentioned Wednesday morning for the seniors.
Yeah, Wednesday morning for the seniors at 10 o'clock, starting on November the 11th. And it'll be here in the auditorium, so that, you know, be plenty of room to space out. Has anybody got anything to add to that? Mike Newberry? That's right. And that's what Mike Newberry was saying was this is just kind of, we're just going back to Sunday school. With the exception of our senior adults, we're just going back to Sunday school with a little social distance and wearing a mask, and we're going back to doing what we love to do best. Yes, ma'am. At regular Sunday school time, 9:45 to 11, and then regular service from 11 until Rick and Ryan get through. Sir? Yeah, if something changes, we'll have to get out another letter, phone chain or something, but as of right now, next Sunday morning, 9:45, Sunday school. Thank y'all.
All right. Well, thank you, Larry. And Larry, I'll give you an amen. Absolutely, Sunday school is—I view it as one of the most important times that we have, not just for what we learn, but it's where we do life as a church. And I just want to come back and reiterate, you know, really be in prayer for next week. You know, I'm not sure about you, but I'm super excited. I've been looking forward to this for a very long time. You know, one of the things that I've quickly realized in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of this struggle, is that you sort of had two people. You have one person that says, you're absolutely crazy, you're overblowing this. And you have another person that says you're absolutely crazy, you're not taking this seriously enough. And oftentimes, that person goes to the same church as you do. And it's this way. I've talked to many pastors, talked to my good friend Bradley, who's the youth pastor at Blakely, and they're going through the same thing. So thank you for your patience. Thank you for bearing with us. And we're really looking forward to next Sunday and seeing what God's going to do through that. So today we're going to be in 1 Timothy. We're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm really excited to bring the word with you this morning as Rick and Robin are coming back from vacation today. And this morning, I really just want to hone in. I really want to talk about God's grace. And I think when we think about God's grace, it's one of those things. I don't know if you've ever had an experience. You've ever had something in your life that when you first experienced it really took your breath away. It was something that you just couldn't get enough of. That you're like, it's just like, wow, this is amazing. I can't believe this is happening. And then as time goes on, the magic kind of wears off, and the luster starts to wear off. I think that same thing can be said about God's grace in our lives at times. That when we first received it, when we first heard the gospel, that it just overwhelmed us, and we truly saw the beauty of it, and we truly saw how amazing it was. We even have songs, "The Amazing Grace," where we sing about that. But over time, it just becomes so regular to us that we hear about it so much, and we talk about it so much, and that we sing about it so much that it just kind of becomes ordinary. And my hope and my prayer is that in our lives, that God's grace, it never turns into that. That we any temptation that we have to fall into that mindset, that we push that to the side. And so this morning, my goal is that, first of all, we get sort of a refresh, or maybe if you never heard this message, that is for the first time you hear about God's grace and how amazing it is and how it changes our lives. You know, I hope we get a new picture of that. And second, I want us to see the purpose of God's grace in our lives and how we're supposed to use that, how we're supposed to utilize that. And so we're in First Timothy, and Paul is writing. And essentially, Paul is just going to give us his testimony. He's going to give us a little bit of a detail about his past life. And if you have been in church at any point for any amount of time, you're probably very familiar with the life of Paul. Before he was Paul, he was Saul, and Saul was he's a very devout Jew, and he didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, and he has such a strong conviction that anyone that preached that, anyone that taught that Paul went after them, and Paul was a persecutor of the church, and yet we're going to read about how God was able to use Paul in that circumstance. So let me pray for us real quick, and then we'll jump right into the passage. Dear Lord, we want to thank you so much, God, for gathering us here this morning. Lord, we want to thank you for the fact that we can talk about your grace, God, and we can read about it. Lord, we want to thank you for the freedom that we have to do that. Father, I pray that as we open up your words and that we read about the life of Paul, that we can see ourselves in this story. Father, I pray that this morning you will humble us. I pray that this morning you will show us how we can use the grace that you've given us, given in our lives to each and every one of us. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So starting in verse 12 of chapter 1, Paul writes, "I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." So right off the bat, the first thing we see that Paul recalls, the first thing that Paul draws our attention to, is the fact that despite Paul's past, despite where he came from, that God was still able to use him. God was still able to do great things through him. When we read throughout the life of Paul, he went on many missionary journeys, and he's written over two-thirds of the New Testament. God used Paul in an amazing way, despite the fact, as he pointed out, that he was a blasphemer, as he persecuted the church, as he was a violent man. When we read the story of Paul and we think about the life of Paul, I think we should see ourselves in such a way that if God was able to use Paul, if God was able to pour out his grace on Paul, then Jesus can do the same thing with us. None of us are too far gone. None of us are in such a place where maybe we think, I've done too many bad things in the past, you know, where I came from. There's no way that Jesus can use me because of what I've done. And what we see in this passage right off the bat is that Jesus was able to use Paul in an amazing way. And Paul is thankful for that. But I really want to focus in on verse 14 when we talk about the grace of God. In verse 14, he says, "The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly." You know, he didn't say that the grace of our Lord was poured out on me in little pieces. It wasn't rationed off. It wasn't portioned off. You know, I think sometimes when we're going throughout our Christian walk, when we're going throughout our Christian life, when we think that, you know, there's a line that we cross. And you know, if I do too many bad things, if I don't read my Bible enough, if I have too many sins going on in my life, then Jesus is going to like set the line right there, and if we cross it, then he's going to just hold it back for a little bit. Maybe it's just for a day, maybe just for a month. You know, we have this mindset that Jesus is going to hold back his grace on us. But this wording that Paul uses, he says that the grace of our Lord was poured out on me in abundance, was poured out on him in such a way that it could never have ran out. You know, I think some of the ways we think about God's grace, you know, we think about him handing out, you know, very stingently, kind of like rationing that off. And it reminded me, both of the, you know, I'm going to give two illustrations. Both of them involve food, so I'm going to make you very hungry because lunchtime is coming up. But I remember a few years ago, before I came to Arlington, I was a chaperone for a student mission trip. Essentially, we were staying at the church, and then we would go out, and we would serve the community. And it generally involved, you know, like yard work and manual labor. And I remember during the meal times, somehow the people that were responsible for serving the meals had gotten the memo that we had a very low budget for the amount of food that we could serve students. And I remember for one afternoon during lunch, they just gave like the tiniest bowl of tomato soup and a grilled cheese sandwich. And some of y'all are hearing that. It's like, well, that, you know, that sounds really good. Yeah, I that is good. I do love tomato soup. I do love a grilled cheese sandwich, but not when I'm about to go do yard work for a few hours. And I remember going, you know, I got my little bowl, got my little sandwich. And I remember going back up there and say, you know, can we have some more? Can we have seconds? And they sent me back. They said, no, we don't have enough. We got to make sure we serve everyone. And then you can come back in line like if we had enough. They were rationing that off. And I think sometimes we feel that, you know, that's the way that God does it with us, with his grace, that he rations it off. He cuts it off, and we can cross a line. But when Paul talks about abundantly, it makes you think, you know, if you're going to take someone out to lunch, you know, there's no better place than one of those, like, all-you-can-eat buffets, where you can, like, keep going back. I remember a few weeks ago, I went to Panama City just as a weekend getaway for myself, and I wanted some good seafood, and I wanted some good crab legs, and because of the pandemic, because of the COVID restrictions, this seafood buffet that I went to was like cafeteria style, so you couldn't grab the food yourself, so you had to, you know, I had to like look people in the eye on my fifth, sixth plate to tell them how much of a glutton I was and how much how greedy I was being to ask for more food. But when we think about God's grace in our life, I wanted us to think about it like that all-you-can-eat buffet, as something that's never going to run out. No matter how far we've gone from him, we're always able to come back to him. He's always able going. He's always going to be able to use us in our life. And I understand that's not a call for us to go out and live however we want. And you know, in fact, when someone asked Paul this very question in Romans, when they said Paul was, since the more we sin, the more grace we receive, should we keep on sinning? Paul says, no, you shouldn't. We should be called to live for holiness. We should be called to live according to God's standard. But understand is that when we fall and when we come up short, we have an abundant amount of grace, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. There's nothing that you have done, there's nothing that I have done that can take us away from God's grace. There's nothing that we can do that can disqualify us from serving God and glorify Him with all that He's done for us. So the first thing I want us to see about God's grace is that His grace is abundant in our life. But I want to ask you, you know, we talked about how sometimes we can feel like we're not worthy for God. But sometimes I think we fall on the other side of the spectrum. Sometimes I don't think we always see our need for God's grace in our life. Or if we do see it, we just say, okay, I just need a little portion of that. I just need a little bit of God's grace because overall, I'm a good person. And if that's you, then I pray that this next verse speaks into you. In verse 15, Paul writes, "Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am the worst." So the first thing that we see is that Paul, he described what's essentially the essence of the gospel. If we could boil down the gospel to just one sentence or just a couple sentences, then there's very few other places that we can look at than verse 15, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save people that were far from Him and bring Him close to Him. Christ Jesus came into the world to save people that were alienated from Him, that were enemies of God, and are now His children. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But then he adds his line, and he says, "Of who I am the worst." Paul describes his life that he was the worst of sinners. And I think, you know, when we talk about Paul's life, we can probably nod our head and probably agree to that. So, yeah, absolutely. You know, Paul persecuted the church. Paul was violent with the church. Paul was an enemy of the church. So yes, like this assessment is true for him. But what I'm about to do, I just want to really quickly kind of show, like, I think each and every one of us, when we examine our lives, that we should, when we look at this and say that Christ Jesus came to this world to save sinners, I think each and every one of us can make the case to say after that, of who I am the worst. You know, a common tactic when you're sharing the gospel is to list the Ten Commandments and ask people, you know, have you broken any one of these? And the purpose that we do that is, you know, obviously we show people that, you know, this is, we have to let people realize their need for sin. And so I just want to really quickly, you know, I don't want to patronize you. I'm sure you know the Ten Commandments. I'm sure that it's memorized, or you may even have it up in your office or up in your home somewhere. But I just want to go over some of the Ten Commandments and let this kind of be a little test, a litmus test for how far we've fallen short. We see things in the Ten Commandments like you should have no other gods, or you shouldn't make false idols for yourselves. Do we have anything in our lives that we put ahead of God? Do we have anything in our lives that we give more attention to God? Do we have anything in our lives that we worship other than God? We see things like honor your father and mother. You know, sometimes we just think that's just for children to you know, do what their parents says, but to honor them, to bring them. When people look at you, they see how your parents have raised you. And usually, you know, this is something you tell to younger kids, or this kind of goes better with youth and stuff like that. But honoring your father and mother. We see things like don't murder or don't commit adultery. And you may look at these two, it's like, okay, you know, these are two that I've gotten right. These are two that I've gotten on track. But what does Jesus say in his Gospels? He says that if you have hate in your heart, and if you have lust in your heart for someone other than your spouse, then you committed murder. You committed adultery. We see things like don't lie, don't steal, don't covet. All these things that if we're honest with ourselves, we've probably broken most of these things, if not all of these things, at some point in our lives. And the reason why I bring this up, and the reason why I want to tell you, is that sometimes I think it's really easy when we compare our lives and we compare our holiness, we do that with our neighbors, or we do that with our family members, or we do that with our friends, and we look at them and we say, you know what? You know, I know my neighbor Joe down the street. He doesn't go to church as often as he should. You know, I saw Joe. He was driving down the road and someone cut him off, and I heard him say a bad word. And I heard that, you know, he watched a rated R movie. And we can compare ourselves to other people, and we do this so that we can feel better about ourselves. So we say, you know, I'm not as bad as Joe down the street. But the thing is, Jesus has never called us to compare ourselves with Joe down the street. He has called us to compare ourselves and hold ourselves to his holy standard. And so I want us to see is that when we see that the fact that Christ Jesus came to save sinners, when we think about God's grace, we should all realize our need for this abundant grace that he talked about in verse 14. See, I think it's very telling. There's two instances off the top of my head of when someone sees God in all of his holiness, and they're standing in the throne room of heaven. We see it in Isaiah, and we see it in Revelation with John standing in heaven and having a vision in heaven. And in both times, I think it's very telling, when they see God in all of his holiness, both times they fall flat on their face, and they're in despair because they realize just how holy God is. They realize just how far short of a standard that they fall, and they cry out in despair over their own sins. See, I don't think it's until we come into a position where we truly see our sin for what it is, where we truly see the depths of our sins, where we truly see the darkness of our sins, where we truly see the depravity of our sins. It's not until we realize that I think we can fully embrace the gospel and fully embrace the grace that's poured out on our lives each and every day. Each and every one of us have fallen short. But the good news is that he's already described in verse 15, is that Jesus came to save us. He came to save people that are fallen. He came to save people that are broken. But we need to realize our sins. We need to realize just how deep our sins go. And so finally, we talked about the abundance of God's grace and our need for God's grace. Finally, I just want to, you know, really quickly in the time we have left to talk about the reason for God's grace in our life and how we're supposed to use God's grace in our lives. So really quickly, let's look at verses 16 and 17. Paul says, "But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners," so there he is, he repeats it again, he says, "that Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." So Paul, he says, listen, I've received this grace that was poured out on me abundance. And now I want to tell you the why of that grace. I want to tell you the purpose of that grace. See, that grace wasn't meant for me just to sit on and to not do anything with. Paul says in verse 16 that he was shown this mercy and he was shown that grace, and so that Christ Jesus might display his glory. That Christ Jesus might display his immense patience. And so that when outsiders, when those that are outside of the faith, when our friends and our family and our neighbors look into our lives, when the first century church would look into the life of Paul, they would see Jesus in all of his glory. They would look into how Jesus had used Paul and how Jesus has saved him. And they would have no other choice but to give glory to God because of that. You see, the grace that we receive, we are meant to turn around and to use that and to glorify Jesus in that. And I just really want you, you to ask yourselves, is how is God's grace, how are you using that to glorify Him? How is God's glory being shown in your life? And we don't always, like I said, we don't always have to, you know, have this, you know, a testimony like Paul where we were violent people and we were a murderer and we did all these things. Just the fact alone that we are saved, our salvation alone is a miracle in and of itself. And you know, we talked about that when we looked at verse 15, but it's worth repeating that I think sometimes we see our salvation as such a common experience, and we don't realize the miracle that it is. And that goes back to us realizing the depths of our sins and realizing just how far short that we've fallen of God's standard. But we don't realize just how much of a miracle it is that despite our shortcomings, despite the fact that we've broken nearly every one of God's commandments, that He still forgives us and He still uses us and He still saves us. And so the grace that God pours into our lives is meant to glorify Him, and is meant to bring honor and glory to Him. So when people look at our lives, then the gospel message just continues to spread because of that. So I want to ask you again: is how are you using God's grace in your life for His glory? You know, as we come to a close, as we sort of, you know, look to wrap this up. You know, I think, you know, there's kind of two people that this message is hitting on. And I believe that, you know, both of these people are in this room or are listening in on the parking lot. For some of you, you've never experienced this grace that we talked about. You never had that relationship with Jesus. And if that's you, then understand that the first step to experience this grace, this first step of allowing God to use you, is to place your trust in Jesus. None of us are too far gone from that. None of us have done enough things that Jesus is going to reject us. We have an abundance of grace that is available to us that Jesus will gladly pour out on each and every one of our lives. So if that's you, then I pray, if you're listening, if you're in this room, then I pray that for you, that today be the day that you place your trust in Jesus. For others, and this is probably more common, for others, maybe we just lost sight of the grace of God in our life. Maybe, like I said, we've gone so long and we've heard about God's grace for so much that we feel like we have all the answers. We feel like we're not so bad. We feel like, you know, maybe Jesus needs to kind of like prop us up every now and again. If that's you, my encouragement to you is that you would humble yourself and that you would truly see the need for God's grace in your life each and every day. We need to understand how far we've fallen. We need to understand that we have a need for God's grace, not just something that props us up, but a need to carry us on each and every day. And so no matter where you are today, I hope we understand that through Jesus, that God provides His grace abundantly in order that we may go out and glorify Him. So let's do that this week. Let me pray for you. Dear God, I want to thank you so much, Lord, once again for this reminder of how you use your grace in your life. God, we are so thankful for the fact that despite how far we've fallen, Lord, that despite the sin in our life, God, despite the depravity in our life, God, that you still come towards us with an abundance of grace. And God, there's no other explanation other than the fact that you love us and you care for us, God, and we are so thankful for that. Lord, I pray if anyone's in here or listening and they don't know you, God, I pray that today that they would give their life over to you. Lord, I pray if anyone's in here today or listening that's maybe just taking for granted your love and your grace in our lives, where I pray that once again we can come to a point where we are just so in love and so amazed about the grace that you pour out on our life each and every day. Lord, we love you. Thank you for getting us here safely. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ryan. Okay, just to reiterate, Sunday school starts next week, and Larry, I think it would be good, beneficial for all of us that are Sunday school teachers to contact our members this week, and even if they have or have not got their letter yet, just to kind of remind them, hey, we are starting back, as Mike said, with the social distancing, but y'all, I'm like Larry.